हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। वेलकम टू आवर सेमिनार ऑन द थर्ड डे। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग truthfulness and then mercy after, and several devotees have been approaching me to get some personal help and advice. I think it's a very healthy thing to do even after I am gone. Please come up to the authorities. Anytime you feel like you cannot be truthful, how you can be truthful in that kind of situation? Approach Umapati Prabhu or the other temple authorities, temple counseling system. But there is no excuse for not being truthful. No excuse good enough. So today we're going to go further. Oh, where did this come from?
Today's.
Is this Vamana Dwadashi?
Today's.
It must be. We'll show you some slides of Lord Vamadeva. You heard the first time this morning in this Bhagavatam class. We'll just show you some quick slides, not go through the whole first time. But if there is any questions, you can take it. I also have brought Vrindavan Raj. This is from Gokul Brahman Ghat, the mati that Krishna ate. So, if anybody wants it, at the end of the program, come forward and take a little bit. I will leave. So Lord Vamadeva was a special incarnation born to Maharshi Kashyap and his wife Diti. And see several different views of slides of Lord Narasimhadeva in different places, from different places in India. There is a new modern Lord Vamadeva, and here is a more traditional look as a South Indian temples, he is worshipped that way. So, special incarnation, special purpose, he goes to deal with Maharaj Bali, who was performing 100 Ashwamedh Yagyas, and that would qualify him to become Indra, and Indra was not happy with that. So Lord Vamadeva went to somehow, somewhat protect Indra, and he devised a plan of asking Bali Maharaj for 3 steps of land. Here is Bali Maharaj. He has the water pot in his hand. When Bali Maharaj agreed to give the land, Lord Vamadeva said, make a commitment, sankalpa. So, in order to do the sankalpa, actually, Bali Maharaj has been laughing at Lord Vamadeva, saying, you, such a small little boy, 3 steps of land. You know who you are asking? I am the king of the 3 worlds. And you are asking me for such a small thing. It's almost insulting. Why don't you ask for more? Why don't you ask for so much that you will never have to ask for anything ever again? So Lord Vamadeva told him, you have rule. You are ruling over 3 worlds. Are you happy and satisfied, or do you want more? So it's greed. The greed is never satisfied. One can never satisfy the greed. So that's why you just give me 3 steps of land, that's all I want. So when he went to do sankalpa, you can see Shukracharya came from behind and asking Bali to not go through this. There are several chapters in here of the conversations between Maharaj Bali and Shukracharya. Even after Shukracharya convinces Maharaj Bali that the person you are trying to give donation, dan, is none other than Supreme Personality of Godhead, God Vishnu. He's come to cheat you. Even after Maharaj Bali was convinced, he said, if he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he's come to my door, there is no way I can refuse him. How am I going to say no? I have no right to perform these fire yagyas and all that until everybody who's come to get some donation from me is happy and satisfied. So there is no way I can do this. Even if he is Lord Vishnu, I don't care. And then Shukracharya told him, in 3 steps, he's going to take everything you have. Everything. Now you at least stop. And Maharaj Bali said, no. He is the Supreme Personality of God. And if he wants to take everything away from me, so be it. Bali Maharaj surrendered. And soon as they did the sankalpa, Lord Vamadev started to measure. He increased his size beyond the expectation of Maharaj Bali and Shukracharya. Little Vamadev became so big. And in this picture you can see that his foot has gone from the earth planet to where Lord Brahma is. That's called the Satyaloka. That's the highest planet in the heavenly planets, as we were discussing yesterday, the 3 worlds. In 2 steps, he covered the 3 worlds. In 1 step, he covered all the planetary systems, all the way up to the Satyaloka. And the next step, he covered all the Patalas. And then he asked, your vow remains unfulfilled. You promised to give me 3 steps of land. Everything you have, I have covered in 2 steps. Fulfill your vow. Give me 3 steps. So Maharaj Bali said, I only promised to give you land. I did not promise to give you myself. So you've taken the land, I am still available for your third step on my end. First, Lord Vamadeva didn't agree. Then he said, Maharaj Bali pulled out the scripture that Dhani is worth at least 1.25 time of the dham. The person who has, let's say, money is worth at least 1.25 time of the money that he has. So by actually allowing you to put the third step on my head, I am actually giving you more than what you are. Now you are going to get 3.25. Actually, there is a little known fact that most people don't hear about or talk about, is after measuring the whole land or all the planetary systems in two steps, Lord Vamadeva actually went and sat on the throne of Maharaj Bali, and he ordered to have Maharaj Bali arrested for not fulfilling his vow. Before Maharaj Bali offered his head, he got arrested. There was Maharaj Bali arrested in the red clothes. And Lord Vamadeva is sitting on the throne of Maharaj Bali. He took over completely. Everything is mine now, and you are under arrest because you did not fulfill your commitment. So that's when Bali tells Lord Vamadeva, I'm going to fulfill my commitment. It doesn't matter. You took everything. It doesn't matter you arrested me. It doesn't matter you took my throne. I gave you my word. I will fulfill my commitment. So, Lord Vamadeva, who actually came to chastise Lord Bali, Maharaj Bali, was actually taken away completely by surrender of Maharaj Bali to Lord Vamadeva. He got, by giving everything to Vamadeva, he got more than what he bargained for. Lot more than what he bargained for. Lord Vamadeva gave him a lot more. So that's in a nutshell. In other countries, Lord Vamadeva is also worshipped. This is Lord Vamadeva in Indonesia. They worship him with the name Vam or Vamadeva. Vamadeva in Indonesia, like a ninja. And when he transforms from a small Vamadeva to a large Vamadeva, you see the two Vamadevas?
Yes.
So in Indonesia, they do dramas like this on the stage. The Muslims and Christians do the dramas like this. Because they were all Hindus before. There's like 9% Hindus now, there now. But studying of Mahabharata and Ramayana is compulsory in Indonesia. Whether you are a Muslim or you are a Christian, you must study the Ramayana and the Mahabharata. For us in ISKCON, we do in our little way in Mayapur, we dress up somebody as Lord Vamadeva and we do all the leela, the drama, all that. And then we offer bhoga to Lord Vamadeva for coming and protecting us. Lord Vamadeva accepts the bhoga and then he gives out a little bit of prasad to everybody who is there. Any questions? Comments? Then we'll go to our today's bhajan. This is a more common bhajan. More people have sung this before. How many devotees have sung this bhajan before? Gauranga Lalita Hazratullah Kashayira. Okay.
Gauranga Lalita Thank you.
Shivling
in his body. This is not to be imitated. But Narottam Das Thakur is asking, when will that opportune moment come to us when there will be shivering of the body as soon as we chant Lord Gauranga's name? And after the shivering, Hari Hari Bolite Nayane Bhave Neera, while chanting Hare Krishna, there will be tears in the eyes. It's several pages, but you're all the devotees, you all understand. We have several other things to cover today. One of the reasons I'm bringing this up is it's a prayer, it's a prayer, and something is going on in some parts of the world. I don't know if it's happening here or not. But some devotees are going around preaching that devotees are not supposed to pray for anything. If you pray for something, it will not, your bhakti will not remain ahetuki apratihata. And that is cleared by Srila Prabhupada's statement that the song written by Narottam Das Thakur, a great devotee, and he formally says, recognized authoritative by all Vaishnavas. So anybody going around and preaching this kind of philosophy that the Vaishnavas are not supposed to pray for anything is trying to start his own movement. That's not our movement. Our movement comes from these acharyas, comes from Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada considers this authoritative. So anybody comes and says to you, don't pray for anything. If you pray for something, your bhakti will become, will not remain ahetuki apratihata. No. It depends what you pray for. If you are going to go to the temple and pray, Om Jai Chitte Not Hare, Swami Jai Chitte Not Hare, Is Jag Ke Sab Sankat Not Hi Dur Kare, Om Jai Chitte Not Hare. That is a prayer for asking for material gain, material benefits. We don't ask for anything material. We ask for spiritual benefits. We ask that when we chant, we can absorb ourselves in chanting. Well, something like this, the whole prayer is like that. So Vaishnavas are supposed to pray. Narottam Das Thakur wrote a whole book called Prarthana. It's a whole book full of prayers. And so many other prayers are there that if we stop praying, removing all these prayers out of our songbook, we would have nothing left in the songbook except the pranam mantras. So, just wanted to clear that up. Today is also the appearance day of Jiva Goswami. Everybody knows Jiva Goswami here very well. Jiva Goswami, from the childhood, he showed his kindness to other Jivas. That's why he is Jiva Goswami. He would embrace, often cry, while worshipping his deity in the night. He toured Navadvip Dham with Nityananda Prabhu, studied Sanskrit in Banaras, and then resided in Vrindavan. He humbly served Srila Rupa Goswami by washing his feet, preparing his manuscripts and editing. He received Diksha also from Rupa Goswami. He is also nephew of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Oh, here it is. He was a disciple of Srila Rupa Goswami. Jiva Goswami would compose Sanskrit verses in his mind and write them down with a metal stylus to permanently etch them in a palm leaf. These verses are in perfect rhythm, poetry, and meaning. He composed 500,000 Sanskrit verses about the science of devotion and glories of Krishna. Verse for verse, in our whole Vaishnava Sampradaya, nobody has written more than Jiva Goswami. 500,000 verses. That's several Ramayans and Mahabharats and Bhagavatams thrown in together will still not make it. He wrote just one book to explain the whole Bhagavatam, and there are over 200,000 verses in Sanskrit. That's Jiva Goswami. We're not trying to tell you his whole life, but just give a little synopsis. It's a good idea to remember our acharyas on their appearance and disappearances. His most famous book was Gopal Champu. Anybody read or heard of Gopal Champu? Gopal Champu is like a Krishna book, like Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. Written by Jiva Goswami is Gopal Champu. It's a whole Krishna book. But it goes into a lot more detail than Srila Prabhupada does. So sometimes we can get lost in it because there's so much detail. But it still is good to read for those devotees who have finished completely reading all of Srila Prabhupada's books. And he wrote Sandarbha and Harinam Vyakaran. His books prove that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy gives the essence to Vedic wisdom and the perfection of religion. Anyone who faithfully reads these books will become a devotee of Krishna. In 1542, Jiva Goswami established the worship of Shri Radha Damodar temple. How many devotees have been to Radha Damodar temple here in Vrindavan? Several. So there is Radha, in the Radha Damodar temple, there is Radha Damodar, and there are several other deities. So when the worship could not carry on in other temples, those deities were brought over to Radha Mother temple to continue the worship, and it still continues to today. And that temple, Radha Mother temple, was built by Jiva Goswami himself, and it served as the headquarters of the whole world for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas at the time when Jiva Goswami resided there. And Srila Prabhupada also resided in the Radha Damodar temple later on, of course, 700 years later, after Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami here is shown meditating on Krishna's pastimes, and Rupa and Sanatana Goswami over there seeing, envisioning Radha Krishna pastimes, and then they compile them. And any information to do with Radharani or any leela between Radharani and Lord Krishna are only coming from these Goswamis, there is no other source that gives us information about Radharani. As another little short thing written on Jiva Goswami, but we have covered most of it. Today is also a Wednesday of Pitruvata. It is a very, very auspicious day. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born on September 2nd, 1838. So today is his 176th birthday. 176. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a very, very important acharya in our sampradaya, because after the disappearance of the six Goswamis and few generations of their disciples, the Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya had almost finished, negligibly left, hardly anything left. By 1750, it was virtually finished. So in the modern time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the one who revived the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava movement. That is what makes him one of the most important personalities in the modern time in our sampradaya. He studied all the different religions. He was a scholar. He studied all kinds of different religions, different faiths, different sampradayas, everything. And then he decided that he wanted to join the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya sampradaya. So that's what he did, and he revived the whole thing because he was a very influential, powerful man. This year is a very special year. We are celebrating 100th anniversary of his disappearance. He disappeared from our material vision in 1914 when he was 76 years old. So this year, 2014, is 100th anniversary. There's some pictures of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's picture when he graduated from college. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur with his first child in his lap. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur later when he got into the British service. And he was promoted to all the way become district magistrate, which is just one rank lower than the governor that's appointed by the Queen. And no Indian could hold that post. He was one exception, that he was not born British and he was still holding that post in West Bengal. This is his picture after he retired. You can see my pointer. This is the picture after he took retirement, and this is one in his devotional clothing, chanting his rounds. And this is his house. How many devotees have been to this house? It's in Mayapur. You go to Jalangi, cross Jalangi, go to the other side, and you come to Godrum Dui. So in the Godrum Dui, there was a temple on this side of the road, the Jalangi side, and then you cross the road and go to the other side. That's Bhaktivinod Thakur's house. And that's that house pictured over here. So Bhaktivinod Thakur was also the father of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who is the spiritual master, initiating guru of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj ki, Thakur Bhaktivinod ki, Nitai Gaur Prema. Any questions or comments? We're trying to cover everything quickly. But if I missed any crucial detail or something comes to your mind, please go ahead and ask now before we go to the next. Okay. So this is our Narad Muni's principles, the truthfulness we covered. We encourage devotees to make all efforts to remain truthful, and if and when they cannot, please discuss that with the authorities and try to find a way how you can remain truthful. Always. Then we discussed mercy. Mercy is one of the regulative principles. And then there is austerity. You see these little, that's Lord Ram, Devi Sita, and then there's Lakshman. They're all going to the forest to perform austerities because it needs to be done. So that's what austerity means. Austerity does not mean that we artificially take austerity, make austerity for ourselves. No. Austerity, following austerity means we have to do what needs to be done. And if it is austere, it's difficult, it is going to take more planning, it's going to take more effort, it's going to take a community effort, whatever it takes, we go ahead and do it if it needs to be done for Krishna consciousness. That is austerity. Sometimes devotees manufacture austerity. Prabhu, I want to perform austerity, so I'm doing this. No, that's may not be classified as austerity because you're making this up. So what is austerity and which one of the regulative principles is it connected to? Austerity is connected to which regulative principle? Did you raise your hand? So, austerity is related with the regulative principle of no intoxication. Understand why? Because intoxication makes us forget the real truth which is in front of me. what I must do, what I must handle. I want to forget it and not worry about it. Put it away. Not go through it. Then I intoxicate myself to forget all my distress, my problems, this, that. So austerity is going through what needs to be done. What is my duty towards my family? What is my duty towards my community? What is my duty towards the temple, Krishna consciousness, and so on? All those things have to be done. Not that I'm just going to intoxicate myself and not worry about or not think of these things. So that's how there is a little relation. That's how it's explained in the Shastra. Principle number 4, bathing twice a day. Like him. He likes to bathe. Anybody here likes to bathe twice a day? Why bathe twice a day? Very simple. How do you feel after bathing?
Fresh.
Refreshed. So, you feel refreshed in the morning after bathing, then you can later on in the afternoon or in the evening take another shower and feel refreshed again. Shri Radha Bhakti Bihari Ki. Principle number 5 is tolerance. The tolerance shows the grass. Tarnadapi samicheram tarorupi saishtanam amane namana jurni kirtani sadaa. So this is a principle that is not only repeated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly from Narada Muni, but also a great emphasis has been given on this third verse of the Shikshastra, Tranatapi Sarichara. Why should we tolerate? What should we tolerate? And what should we not tolerate? Anybody wants to comment? Why should we tolerate? Or what we should tolerate? And number 3 is what we should not tolerate. Tolerate doesn't mean tolerate anything. There has to be a line that, yes. Very good. Very good. Thank you, Mother, for speaking out. Anybody would like to add to that, make it more specific? This is a very good principle. Bhakti anukul matra karyar sukara bhakti pratikul bhava arjanam. We should not tolerate abuse. And we should tolerate regular austerity, meaning in terms of following our Bhakti Yoga process. There are steps we need to take to follow the Bhakti Yoga process. What are the steps of the Bhakti Yoga process? First step is Shraddha or faith. We should have some little bit of Shraddha or faith. Of course, we all do. That's why we are here. That's where it starts. But then we need one very essential ingredient, which is Sadhu Sangha, association of devotees. And once we come into the Sadhu Sangha, we get into Bhajan Kriya, chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in order for all this to work, sooner or later, before Bhajan Kriya or after Bhajan Kriya, we also have to do Anartha Nivritti. Anartha Nivritti, in short, is following four regulative principles. Chanting is more important. The Bhajan Kriya is higher than Anartha Nivritti. Because we allow people who are not chanting, who are not following four regulative principles, we encourage them to chant the holy name anyways. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. So because of his mercy, everybody can chant the holy name. It's not reserved for people who follow four regulative principles. It's for everyone. But then in order to go further into the bhakti process, we should go to Anartha Nivritti. Anartha Nivritti is getting rid of anartha, not accumulate anymore paap. So we have Shraddha, we get Sadhu Sangha, added to that Bhajan Kriya, then Anartha Nivritti, and then more Bhajan Kriya, more Shraddha, and it would take us to the next step, which is called Nishtha. Nishtha means firm determination, firm commitment. Then it goes to further to Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, right? We're not going to go there right now, but we're just trying to explain what is tolerance. In order for me to develop my Shraddha and from there go to Sadhu Sangha, from Sadhu Sangha to Bhajan Kriya to Anartha Nivritti, whatever comes in my way, I tolerate. For a higher goal. Okay? Then move on. Principle number 6, discrimination. Many people say, no, we should not discriminate. Srila Prabhupada said, no, that's wrong. We should discriminate. We always have to discriminate. But the basis of discrimination should be wrong or right. Basis of discrimination should not be race, caste, creed, or religion, or any such thing. Discrimination should be based on wrong decision or right decision. What is the right thing to do and what is the wrong thing to do? That is almost always about the same for everyone. There is a right thing to do and there is a wrong thing to do. Why should we discriminate? Because if we do not avoid the wrong things and we do not do the right things, then in the Bhakti Yoga process or in our life, as a, it could be a student life, it could be a family life, it could be a working life, any kind of life. It would become very difficult to maintain if we don't do all the right things and don't avoid all the wrong things. Principle number 7, control of mind. Like that. One should always try to control their mind. Why should we try to control our mind? Why should we control our mind? Why don't we just let go? Just do it. We need to control our mind because our mind is very chanchal, very flickering, does not stay in one place. It jumps around all over the place. We were just talking about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave his disciples a very good formula to control their mind. Anybody knows? Take your chappal and beat it 100 times first thing in the morning. And then take a stick and beat it 100 times at night before going to bed. Of course, we don't follow exactly that way, but we still follow the principle of trying to control the mind. Having the mind fixed on what we have to do for our spiritual advancement. Our first priority is making spiritual advancement. So the control of our mind comes in when my mind is going somewhere that is not the right direction for my spiritual progress, for my spiritual advancement. Then I need to bring that mind back and put it where it belongs. Is it easy? We don't do it exactly that way. That's meditation. But we do it with japa. It's not easy. Does anybody think it's easy to control the mind? No. So that's why it needs practice. Something that is not easy to do needs that much more practice. Principle number 8 given by Narad Muni. Control of the senses. What are the senses? These are the senses. We need to control our senses. Why should we control our senses? Because if we don't, they will drive us nuts. The senses will go all over and take you all over the place. We need to control our senses. If we don't, then we won't be making any spiritual progress. And if we control our senses, then we can engage the senses into Krishna consciousness, and then the mind will go. How do we engage senses into Krishna consciousness? Let's say when we're chanting japa, for example, how do we engage all our senses in Krishna consciousness or chanting japa? Can anybody volunteer to tell us?
Through
The younger people get the first priority. Don't everybody raise your hand all of the sudden, all together, because I can't see all the hands. How do we engage our senses in chanting the holy name? How many devotees know but they don't want to tell? And how many don't know? That's why they don't want to tell. Okay, there is one honest person here. Who's going to tell us? How do we engage all our senses in chanting the holy name? Yes.
Maybe I may show you just why. Like when you are chanting, you ought to concentrate and listen to the sound of the vibration you're chanting.
Yes.
Then all your concentration, your mind will be focused there, and your ears also will be focused there.
Yes.
And from that you'll be meditating.
Yes. See, it wasn't that difficult, was it? Very good. So the way we engage our five senses into chanting the holy name or engaging them in Krishna consciousness is we engage the tongue by vibrating the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then we engage the ears in hearing what the tongue is vibrating. When we chant the holy name, we chant our japa, we have to chant it loud enough so that we can hear our own chanting. If the neighbors can hear, that's not important. What is important is I should be able to hear my own chanting. It should be able to go from here, the sound has to be loud enough to go from here to here. That engages two of our senses in chanting the holy name. How do we engage the others? We have eyes. We engage the eyes in looking at Krishna's pictures, Krishna's devotees, deities, anything to do with Krishna that reminds us of Krishna. So that's how we engage our eyes in Krishna consciousness while chanting japa. And then we have fourth is what? The nose. The nose should be smelling something nice fragrance that reminds us of Krishna consciousness. Like what? Like the incense and other things that remind us of Krishna. Then the final sense is the touch. Or did we run out of time? Oh, sorry. Last one. So the fifth sense is touch. How do we engage the touch in Krishna consciousness? By touching our beads. That engages the fifth sense into Krishna consciousness. So when we engage all five of our senses in Krishna consciousness, then it's easier for the mind to get into Krishna consciousness. Okay. Thank you. That's all we will cover today. Thank you for coming. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions or comments, please bring them. Monday, tomorrow, we are only having a Sunday feast class. We're not going to be having this seminar continue, but Monday this seminar will continue. So bring your questions or comments regarding this Monday. But if you have any other questions regarding Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Ramayana, anything that you want to get an answer of, bring it tomorrow at the Sunday feast. If I am not able to give you an answer, I have help. What's your name? Rukma Das. If I am not able to give you an answer, then Rukma Das Prabhu will be here. You will be here at the Sunday feast?
Yes.
Okay. Gradraj Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Om Premanam. Anybody who wants the Vrindavan Raj can come and take it.